Blog Talk Radio.
Precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All righty.
let's get into some music for our praise and worship part of the service. There we go.
Out of the ashes. Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the praise and worship part of the service. Now let's get into the message. Amen. It's called Targeting God's Will. Well, let's go with an opening prayer for the service. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for guiding us on all our ways with power from on high, Lord. We thank you that again and again you have led us through the darkness on the path of light, Lord. Looking back, we cannot be thankful enough, Lord. May our hearts turn to you and be filled with quiet certainty in all we are still awaiting, Lord. Remember us and remember the many who lie under heavy bondage, Lord. Let the time come when you will bring a great deliverance to those who are in darkness, Lord. Then we can find meaning for our lives and all that happens, Lord, knowing that you have been faithful in everything, Lord. You have done more than we have asked, Lord, more than we can understand, Lord. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you could ask God one question, what would you ask? Would you ask about eternity past, creation, how he flung the stars in place, the cross, and his return? Just what would you ask? As the U.S. Today survey asked, if you could ask God one question, what would you ask? And 80% of Americans surveyed said they would want to know what God's will and purpose was for their life. As a pastor, this is the single most asked question I get. How can I know God's will for me? As I have sought to answer this question for others, I have come to realize that God's will is mysterious yet obvious, complex yet simple. For most people, God's will be like a spiritual game of pin the tail on a donkey. They feel like they've been blindfolded, spun in circles, and left to find their own way in the pursuit of pinning their life precisely to his perfect plan. For many years, this is the way I felt when I tried to decipher God's will for my life. I felt blindfolded trying to hit a moving target. I felt like I was stammering in the dark trying to find a needle in a haystack. Only to realize what I was really doing was projecting my ambitions on God, expecting him to join me in my life pursuits. But you see, God isn't our co-pilot or genie in a bottle. So while our human tendencies might be to focus on our ambitions, on where we should go or how we should get there and what we should do once we arrive, this doesn't appear to be God's concern. We must pursue life from point A to point B, but God is far more focused on the journey than the destination. He is more engaged in who and we are than what we do. So God's concern is the process. He's taking us through to mature and ready to us to make us more like his son. Maybe this is why people say it's easier to know God's will for my life than it is for my own life. For the most people, God's will look more like a chance game of darts, they say. God, if I hit the bullseye, then it's your will. When they miss, they barter again. As if we don't really want God's will, but rather we want God to bless our will. But this isn't how it works. God wants us to know his will and to live in the center of his will. But to do this, we have to pursue God's will according to his plan. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. This text tells me that God's will isn't random, and neither is it according to our wishes and plans. His will is perfect and pleasing according to his plans. We just have to live in such a way that test and approve it. It is God's will to reveal his will to anyone who is willing to do his will. The simple truth is God wants you to know his will more than you want to know his will, and he wants you to experience your life in the center of his will. The scope of God's will. The providential will of God includes those things God has created in time and space and set into motion, that they are beyond man's scope, understanding, and influence. These are decisions God has made according to his sovereign choice that certain things have happened and are going to happen, and nothing is going to stop it. No one has influence over these events, and no committee was formed to offer their insights and opinions. This includes things like creation and the plan of salvation. God didn't take requests when he put the stars in place or determined how to make the mountains or which animals to create. He neither needed nor sought your ideas. If he had, I'd advise him to leave off mosquitoes, hornets, spiders, and snakes, and bulldogs. See, God didn't seek our advice on his plan of salvation, how a person is going to have their sins forgiven and enter a relationship with the Creator. He didn't ask for an alternative plan. The prescriptive will of God is the general will of God as outlined in Scripture. It is where God reveals to us what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil, what is God and what is not of God. And it is where God reveals his progressive plan that we might know him and know his plan of redemption. But there's a catch. We all need to understand God has given us Scripture to reveal his general will for all people. The Bible is God's will for everyone. So when the Bible says thou shalt not kill or steal or lie, it doesn't apply to you and you, but not to you. It applies to every person in every culture and every age. God's prescriptive will is truth to lead us to him. It's truth that applies to everyone equally. God's prescriptive will is the same for me as it is for you. You and I have no influence over God's prescriptive will, but we do have a choice of whether or not we're going to respond to it and abide by it. You can't change it, but you can ignore it, or you can respond to it. There is where we live, and this is a burning question within the soul of every person. What's God's will for me? What does he want me to do in this situation? Should I marry this person or not? Should I take that job or not? How should I respond to my kids, my spouse, or my boss? Should I make this move or not? Should I buy this house or not? Should I, you name it. Until a person is willing to follow God's prescriptive will, they'll never discover his personal will. So why would God show you his personal will if you're unwilling to follow his general will? What kind of parent blesses their child when they're intentionally living in defiance to their will? I'm excited to tell you that God isn't playing hide-and-go-seek. He wants you to know with certainty his personal will as you live according to his prescriptive will while you live within his providential will. So in Scripture, he's revealed a simple 5-step plan to help us. Seek and you shall find. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I committed earlier, it is God's will to reveal his will to anyone who is willing to do his will. There is a small caveat. Okay, it is God's will to reveal his will, but if we operate outside of God's will, he is obligated to allow us to fail. Why? Because Christ will not risk us living in a way that leads to our destruction. God loves you. He is jealous for you. He wants his best for you. He wants to bless and guide you. He doesn't just want you to know him. He wants you to know his will for you. So God doesn't allow his people to operate outside of his will without consequence. If God's will be the best way, then every minute of every day we operate outside his will and independent of God is a wasted day. So what do we need to do to discover God's personal will in our lives? I believe God's word offers us 5 steps to discovering his will. These 5 steps are like the ingredients to a cake that have to be added to the mix in a particular order. You can't start with 5 and skip the other 4, but you start with 1 and move to 5. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Give your bodies to God. give, to offer, or lay down is a violational act. To discover God's will requires a formal surrender of your life. You have to raise the white, and you have to say, I'm no longer going to do my life the way on my terms, but according to God's way on his terms. I'm going to accept that his way is better than my way. This is no easy task, because it's counterintuitive. Why? Because we don't naturally submit to anyone or anything, including God. At creation, man was dependent on God. But through sin, we have sought to live independently of him. We have sought to turn onto our own way. Our surrender doesn't come naturally, but supernaturally through our according with Christ as Savior and embracing his call for us to come under his influence, to allow the Holy Spirit in us to guide us in his will. This is God's will. If we're going to discover his will, that we begin by surrendering to him. But if it doesn't stop there, not only will we require to surrender, we have to submit to his word. So allow God's word to guide. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. There are two things, if we're going to live in submission to God, we can't be conformed to the world because we're being transformed by his word. Both words are passive verbs in the Greek, meaning the action happens to the subject from an outside source instead of a subject doing the action. Conform, don't let the world stuff you into its mold. My son was playing with Play-Doh. He crams the Play-Doh into a mold, forcing it to respond to the mold. This is what the world does to us. From Madison Avenue to Wall Street to Rodeo Drive, the world seeks to tell us what to think, believe, and how to live. Transform, metamorphosis is the word used for the transformation of a caterpillar into a butterfly. Instead of a world seeking to stuff into his mold, God wants to shape us into his image. So how does God do this? He does it through his word. God transforms our lives through scripture. In 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, all scripture is God breath. Psalms 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet. And Psalms 119, verse 11, if you hide God's word. Hebrews 4, the word of God is quick. If you're trying to find God's will without consulting his word, you are like a blind man trying to find a hidden door in a dark room. So ask godly people to advise. I'm not telling you to seek advice from just anyone, yet in seeking God's will, godly counsel is a must. Plans fail for a lack of counsel, but with many advisors it succeeds. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. Proverbs 12:15. The way of the fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to godly advice. We seek advice from numerous sources, our parents, friends, kids, colleagues, pastors, and others. God's encouragement is to seek the advice of godly people. Seek the counsel of people who will tell you what you need to hear and not just what you want to hear. Are they godly? Do you know that person walks with God? Not are they perfect, but are they godly? Do you see the tangible evidence of the fruit of the Spirit? Can you tell they live under the influence of the Holy Spirit? Not because they go to church, but because the patterns and attitudes of their life screams they walk with Jesus. Are they trustworthy? Are they confidential? Are you sure they can keep a secret and not use your concern against you? Are they objective? When you lay out the facts, can you refrain from being subjective and give you what you need? Are they missional? Are they concerned about your intimacy with God? Will they take into account how their counsel is going to impact God's kingdom in your life and through your life? Are they encouraging? Are they willing to do more than just point you in the right direction? Are they willing to walk with you and hold you accountable? Do they care enough to see you through the Father and to the health? Never turn to someone who doesn't have the ability to help you, because they only have the ability to hurt you. Anticipate God's Spirit to prompt in his heart. A man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. One of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to guide you. As he walks his stride with God, the Holy Spirit nudges and leads us to the heart and will of the Father. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and every way. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. John verse 16, chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The peace of God will never lead you away from the will of God. The will of God will never lead you where the peace of God will not keep you. Dartboard example. Before the service today, I was goofing off and actually threw a dart and hit the bullseye. The truth is that every once in a while, we will get it right, even if it was chance or dumb luck. But if you want to get it right more times than not, then choose to follow God's way for discovering his will for you. It is really quite simple. If you can choose to live by faith, or you can trust God and live by faith, each step in the process of following God's way is one step closer to hitting the bullseye of his will for you. Amen. Well, that's the end of the sermon, so let us pray. Lord God, we are not worthy of all the mercies and faithfulness you show to us, Lord. We thank you for your love and ask you to keep our hearts united in hope we have together for all things, Lord. Keep our hearts united that again and again we can receive something new from your mighty hand, Lord. Keep us true to the calling you have given us, Lord. Let light shine out into the world, right into the dark places, Lord. Remember those all over the world who are assigned to you, longing that in your great and wonderful goodness, light may come to peoples and nations through some deed from your hand. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to get to the most important question, and that is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you do not, that's okay, because you will get a chance to in just a moment. But let me ask you, are you tired of traveling down this long, dusty road, never knowing which way to go, which way is up or down? Or maybe you lack a purpose in your life, and you need some. Or maybe you suffer from depression or anxiety. Or maybe you suffer from something much worse, such as an addiction to alcohol or drugs, sexual immorality, gambling, overeating. Whatever it is, the Lord can take it away, but in order for him to do so, he has to know you. That's right, folks. He has to know you in order for him to help you. So, do you want to get to know God this evening? If so, simply say this prayer after me. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I'm a sinner, and I'm so sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross at Calvary and died for my sins, and I'm now willing to turn from my sins. You said in your holy word in Romans 10:9 that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now I confess Jesus as Lord of my soul. With my heart I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to his word, right now I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to license, but rather it always leads to repentance. Therefore, Lord Jesus, transform my life so that I may bring glory and honor to you alone, excuse me, and not to myself. So once again, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you said this prayer, we would like you to call in to area code 657-383-1487 and press the 1 key. That's 657-383-1487 and press the 1 key. When you press the 1 key, you'll come on live, okay, and you can tell us and the world that you accepted the Lord Jesus. Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Okay? Because right now the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all the angels and everyone in heaven is rejoicing that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Okay, so won't you let us rejoice with them as well? Amen. Well, I'm going to play some music. Okay. Here we go.
Thank you.
you enjoyed those songs. Okay, well, we're gonna go into the prophetic message, okay? And this goes out to all those that need it, and you know who you are. The Father says today, seek those things that are above. Seek out and set your face on the fullness of my glory. For my glory I have provided you all things for life, transformation, and provisioning of any and every need you will ever know. There is no need for you to run after earthly things. Do you know why? Because all those blessings will come on you and overtake you when you pursue after me. Do you know what this means? When you seek my face, you will see my hand. Those out there in the world, the faithless and unbelieving, fill their bellies and fill their lives with swine husk and temporal things and are never satisfied. I will fill you with the treasures from heaven, and great will be your reward, and your joy will be ever so full. So accept your entitlement in me this day, says God. Turn your ear from those who furrow the brow, insist and mock at spirituality that I am not giving a God. So I so love that I gave, I never have ceased giving. If I withheld not my son, my only begotten son, even the darling of heaven, then why would I ever withhold anything from you, any lesser thing? Though I bestow all the world's wealth upon you in a moment of time, it would be as nothing compared to what I have already given you in Christ. Receive then the resources that dead religion vainly and inaccurately suggests I will not give you. Okay, they were blind leaders of the blind, wallowing in the ditch of their own shame. Rise up, shake yourself, and receive this day all that I have for you, says God. Amen. Well, like I said, this goes out to all those who need it, and you know who you are. Well, I'm going to play a couple songs, and then we're going to end the service.
vision with the pain set in. Can I believe when I don't see? Can I be then let it be out of my hands? Well, it's out of my hands. This is the word I choose, but it's where I'm finding you. But I'm broken and undone. Your mercy's just begun.
You're welcome to call in anytime you want to. Okay, don't sit there and think you cannot call in. You can call in because I know when you call in and you talk to me, it helps you. Okay, so please call in. Okay, don't worry about anybody else. Okay, I don't care about them. I care about you, Doug. I care about Jason. I care about the good callers that call in, okay, and to seek help. Amen. So, just a reminder that tomorrow, there will be no show. Okay, we take Mondays off. We will be back Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time for another great episode of Purpose Gospel Radio. Hope to see you all there. May God bless you all. May you have a great and blessed evening, and until we see you next time, God bless.